Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this October the 17th in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom on Mondays, we take a look at one of the readings for the coming Sunday, which is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. Readings from Genesis 4, 2 Timothy 4, and Luke 18. The reading we're going to focus on for this broadcast is Genesis chapter 4, about the murder of Abel by Cain. And the other point we're going to be making is, why did God not regard Cain's offering as appropriate? And the reason we're going to look at that is, how do you know whether your offerings are regarded as appropriate? But before we get into that, let's take a couple of looks at the first part of the text. And I have one housekeeping task. For some broadcasts, you'll remember I had my good friend Mark Laverty, who is the organist at Zion Maryland Heights. We were interviewing him. He's an expert on Bach. He's a concert pianist. His mother, Lois Ruth Laverty, fell asleep in Jesus this past week. The visitation is at St. Paul de Pere today, beginning at 4 o'clock. The funeral is tomorrow at 11 a.m. And so we keep Mark and his family in our prayers. Lois was a well-loved person, many friends, and we certainly will miss her. In fact, Louise and I had even eaten dinner at her house with her family. And so we got to know them pretty well. And Mark is a great friend of ours. And we hope to have him back soon on Law and Gospel. Getting to our reading, Genesis chapter 4, it begins, "Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel." Now, there's a couple of things in those first two verses. Martin Luther, for example, as one individual, as well as others, believes that when Eve had Cain, she just didn't think that she had gotten a baby with the help of the Lord, but she had gotten a baby who was the Lord. Now, the text isn't that clear, but that is a possibility, which means that she would have believed the promise of Genesis 3:15, that through her would come the Messiah. It's just that Cain wasn't the Messiah, he was the first murderer. But then, verse 2, "And again, she bore his brother Abel." Now, if you look at verse 1, first Adam knew Eve, then she conceived, then she bore Cain. But in verse 2, immediately she bore his brother Abel. No knowing Eve or being conceived. And so I agree with those scholars who believe that Cain and Abel were twins, which is somewhat interesting, that Cain killed Abel, not just his brother, but his twin brother. But we really want to get to the point as to why God rejected Cain's offering. It says Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. Then it says, "The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard." Now, we can't say that Abel's offering was a superior offering because it was an offering of an animal. Yeah, there's no doubt that there were requests by God during the ceremonial law times that animals would be sacrificed. Of course, who forgets about the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world? And therefore, some might suggest that Cain's offering, which was from the ground, was not really that important to God. But throughout the Old Testament, it's clear that God has no problem with offerings of grain and other produce, just as he does offerings of animals. Then what was it about Cain's offering for which God had no regard? Well, we need to look at the context. Because as soon as Cain recognizes that the Lord had no regard for his offering, listen to the next sentence. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord says to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Now, God has brought in the notion of sin as part of the problem that Cain has. When we receive the absolution from the pastor in a liturgical worship service, what do we say first? Do we say anything? We confess our sin as a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. It is on the basis of that confession, remember how the pastor begins, upon this, your confession. Just as God often recognizes something as sin, not because of the deed done, but the motivation behind the deed, so also we can say that God looks to the motivation behind our offerings as to whether or not they are appropriate from his point of view. You see, God regarded Abel's offering because it was given in true faith. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Now, there's no doubt, therefore, that Cain's offering was not given in true faith. Do we have other examples of that? We sure do. Why do you think the Babylonian captivity occurred? Because the people stopped giving offerings to God? No. They continued to give offerings to God, but as Jesus, he also quotes from Jeremiah, "You have made my temple a den of robbers." What does that mean? Well, the offerings were an attempt to buy God off, to placate his anger. They were not really given during that time of the Babylonian captivity in true faith. They thought, like the Pharisees, remember in Luke 18, "Thank God I'm not like those sinful tax collectors and those prostitutes, because I fast, I tithe." Now, notice how they looked to the ceremonial laws as the assurance of their salvation. They were boasting of their offerings to God. And that's why God has no regard for their offerings. You see, Cain made the common worldview mistake that the world has, that we can influence God by means of our offerings. I'm going to be talking about that on Wednesday in light of the parable that was in the gospel for yesterday about that unjust judge and that woman coming to try and get justice. And a lot of people think that the point of that parable is we need to keep on praying. I just don't think that's the point of that parable, for the simple reason that that's law. And parables, yes, at times they can talk about proper ethical issues and this sort of thing, but we're going to give you another option on Wednesday in regard to that parable, because I have been convinced that it is a parable of how the kingdom of God operates. And that may be a big surprise for some of you. But at any rate, that's on Wednesday's Insight, Law, and Gospel. So, Cain speaks to Abel, his brother. This is Genesis 4, verse 8. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Now, the Lord says to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Okay, if Cain has proper faith, then he will repent of what he has done. But what instead do we hear? He says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" I mean, this is amazing. Cain, having brought up by Adam and Eve, knew the tremendous, miraculous items that God did in creating the world, and he doesn't think that God saw him kill his brother Abel. I saw a cops program recently, kind of like watching that, because it really shows the old Adam of crooks who are not very smart. But this crook and his partner were stealing copper wire from a store, and they were being videotaped. So they put it into their car, and he went to go away. And guess what? He was surrounded by police cars, and they accused him of stealing the copper wire. He says, "No, I just picked this up off of the street," as though that copper wire is going to be lying all over the street. And it was really fascinating. He could not bring himself to admit that he had stolen the copper wire. In fact, the policeman said, "We have videotape not only of you stealing the copper wire, but putting in this car, which you are now driving, which has the same license plate." And the crook kept denying that he had done this. Now, of course, they found out he had a record of stealing things. And it's just really fascinating for me to watch cops and see how many times people deny the obvious. This is what Cain is doing. This is not proper faith. "What have you done?" the Lord says. "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength, and you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Now, I know what they're talking about. We lived in the parsonage right beside the church that I pastored for a number of years, and it had a backyard, and there was a fence. So we would try and grow tomatoes or corn or things like that. And guess what? I don't know how farmers exist, but squirrels would come and start eating our produce. You know, this is what God is saying. You know, when you worked the ground before, it gave you its strength. But now you're going to have all kinds of problems with greater weeds and greater problems. Now, Cain says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Now, talk about being self-interest employed. He accuses God, "You have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." See, Cain recognizes at least that the punishment for murder is himself being put to death. But the Lord says to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Now, that's the end of the reading, but Cain goes away, of course, from Adam and Eve, marries a wife, which would be one of his sisters at that time, and then they have children, etc. The point, this is really interesting. Look at what Cain has done against God. He tried to buy God off with some kind of a sacrifice. And yet God still takes care of him. Should that surprise us? Adam and Eve were told very clearly, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, beguiled as they were by Satan, they did eat of it. And then they tried to dress themselves in leaves of a tree, which of course didn't last very long in the hot sun. And so what did God do? He made for them clothes from an animal. Now, why would God do that? Because God is a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He is a God who will give you what you really don't deserve. So, and we talked at length about this at the Bible study at Trinity Orchard Farm yesterday. There are a few chapters that are so clear in their theology that I encourage people to use them to show others what Lutheran teaching is. My favorite chapter in the whole Bible in regard to law and gospel is Galatians chapter 3. But the chapter we looked at yesterday was Romans chapter 4. You cannot read Romans chapter 4 and walk away with the notion that, boy, oh boy, I can save myself by my works. No, the entire chapter clearly indicates that Abraham, he was not justified by works. If he had been, he would have had something to boast about, but not before God. And then verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. See, that's Christianity. Someone is regarded as righteous, not because they do something, but because they believe something. Every other religion in the world is a do religion. Yeah, that's well said a lot of time by our good friend on Thursday, where he says the difference is between a do religion, which is every religion in the world, and a done religion. I'm talking about Wes Reimnitz, of course. That's a great distinction to keep in mind. There's nothing a person can do to be saved or even remain saved. It's all the work of Jesus Christ. I know that sounds odd, but if we had more time, we could go into it. But just for your own enjoyment, read chapter 4 of Romans. So, I do not believe that when you look at Genesis 4, that the offering by Cain was rejected by God because it wasn't the right substance. It doesn't really matter what your offering is. It can even be a prayer, a sacrifice of your voice in singing. What God looks at is the heart. So if you're giving an offering and making a den of robbers out of your worship, that is trying to buy God off, trying to motivate him to love you by what you do, then God is not going to accept that. Because God is a God of grace. He gives what we do not deserve. So if you're trying to do something to deserve it, you're in big trouble. You see, one of the points that Paul makes in Romans 4, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. When I worked for an automobile assembly, at the end of the 2 weeks, I didn't go to the foreman and say, where's my gift? No, the check was something I merit. It was my due. And in contrast to works that merit, in Christianity, salvation we inherit. It's a gift from God. And so this is the problem Cain had. The very fact that he was not repentant and even able to confess his sin when the Lord says, where's Abel, your brother? God knows where Abel, his brother, is. He's dead. And he's asking Cain for the opportunity to repent. But instead, he says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Can you imagine someone with that attitude giving a gift to God with right motivation? Of course not. So, how do you know your gift is accepted to God, by God? Well, the first thing we recognize is the old Adam always gives gifts to God for the wrong reason. But the new man always gives gifts to God for the right reason. And so in whatever gift that we give, we might have a silent prayer saying, Lord, forgive me for giving this gift because I want to earn your favor. I have your favor because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Help me to understand that and get rid of these wrong thoughts, this wrong worldview in me. You see, the Christian worldview is totally different than the secular worldview. The secular worldview, we give gifts to God in order to get something from God. The Christian worldview is we give gifts to God in thankfulness for what he has already bestowed upon us. So, if you think, boy, I'll give a little extra money this week, and maybe I'll get that promotion that I need, that's an inappropriate gift. That's a gift that God will have no regard for. But regardless of what you give, if your motivation is, I love Jesus, I want to thank him, and it doesn't matter what's going to be coming up. By the way, you'll want to listen to tomorrow's Law and Gospel, because we're going to be examining a hymn that says precisely this. And we'll explain it more with the help of Mark Smith as we take a look at that hymn. So for this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, I'm probably not going to be preaching on this text, but all three, Genesis 4, 2 Timothy 4, and Luke 18, boy, they all have good points. And you could preach 5 or 6 sermons on each one of these. But in regard to the Cain and Abel one, the point we're making is a very simple one. Cain's gift to God is not disregarded by God because of what it was. No, it's clear from the context, the kind of attitude that Cain had. Everything was self-interest. Even when he says to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You have driven me today away from the ground. No, don't blame God for the consequences of your sin. Cain, you drove yourself away from the family, away from the ground, away from your God. And the fact that he puts a mark on you so that people cannot kill you, even though you did commit murder, wow, that's a wonderful piece of grace that you are receiving that you do not deserve. And that's why Jesus says from the cross, not only to Cain, but to each of you, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And the resurrection is God's way of saying what Jesus asked for at the cross, what he accomplished at the cross, is fulfilled perfectly, so that the sins, not only of believers, but even of unbelievers, have been paid for. And that's really an important point. I might have to go over Romans 4 one of these times, because there's some other points that I hadn't recognized. I have a definition of what forgiveness is that I thought, that's pretty good, Tom. And I thought I had kind of made it up myself. And then, sure enough, I found it in Romans 4. Paul reveals it. So there's nothing new under the sun. The best thing a pastor can do is be a super plagiarist, using the best of theology from the Bible and great scholars to teach the faith. As we indicated, tomorrow on Law and Gospel, with the help of Pastor Mark Smith, we'll be taking a look at a hymn that can tie in quite easily to the story of Cain and Abel, this real history story. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.